This is from Mark's Gospel, and it's chapter 16, verses 1 to 7. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so that they might anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb. And they asked each other, "Who will roll away the stone from the entrance of the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe, sitting on the right side. They were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter. He is going ahead of them into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." I have been singing, so forgive me. Some of you will know the name Philip Vale. Philip was a member of this church for many years. He was a deacon, and he led the music worship group. He now lives down in the depths of Dorset, which means he is slightly closer to God's own country than when he was here. But if you remember, Philip occasionally would lead the worship, and he would often begin with the same phrases. He would begin by saying, "I don't know how some of you have come here today. I don't know what problems you have. I don't know how you're feeling." I think Margaret will remember that was often the way that Philip would start. And I thought about Philip when I was reading this particular passage with the women. And the words I want to focus on are, "Who will roll away the stone from the entrance of the tomb?" We don't know what those women had gone through on what we call Holy Saturday, Easter Saturday. We don't get many sermons on Easter Saturday. We get one on Good Friday, we get them on Easter Sunday, but not many on what's sometimes called Holy or Low Saturday. But I wonder what they did. They'd been at the cross. They had seen Jesus die. They had seen him taken to the tomb, and they knew where it was. They knew where it was because they went there that Sunday morning. But what had they gone through in the day in between? They would have celebrated the Sabbath, I'm sure, as would have been the custom as they were Jewish. But I wonder what their feelings were, what their thoughts were. One thing they knew, they had to prepare the body of Jesus properly because nothing had been done on the Friday. It was too late. And they weren't allowed to do it on the Sabbath. So very early on the Sunday morning, they made their way to the tomb. And suddenly, they were stopped in their tracks. Who is going to move the stone? There was this great obstacle that suddenly appeared in their minds. Who's going to move it? We can't do it. We saw what a size it was. How are we going to move it? And then we're told they looked up. They looked up. And that very thing that had seemed to be the obstacle in their way had gone. It had rolled aside to reveal the open tomb. Now, I don't think for Jesus to rise from the dead that he needed that stone to be rolled. He didn't need it to be rolled away. If he can go through doors, as Chris told us last week, he's not going to be worried about a bit of a rock standing in the way. That stone was moved so that we could look and see. And these women looked and saw, but the important thing they did first of all, and we don't know if in their conversation they had said to each other, well, what's the point of going on? We might as well turn back. Perhaps we ought to go and find somebody else who can help us. We're not told they said that. But I wonder if it went through their minds to turn around and go back. But they didn't. The important thing was they looked up. Now, I wonder in your life, perhaps you've got a great boulder that seems to be ahead of you. Maybe you're going through something at the moment that seems immovable. Maybe it's a health issue. Maybe it's something to do with the family. Maybe it's just general anxiety and depression. And depression is an illness, so don't feel guilty about depression. But maybe there's something that you think, I can't get over this. Can I encourage you to do what the women did? Look up. Look up and see. And when you look up and see that the Lord is risen, and that's what they found, when you look up and see that, other things will fall into place in a different way. I don't say the problems will go away, but they will seem certainly very different. Janine said when she was praying, don't sweep things under the carpet. Look up and face them. Look up and face the boulder that stands in the way. And let God meet you with the glorious news that he is alive and well. Could we have a second reading, please, Janet? And this is from John's Gospel, chapter 20. And verses 10 to 16. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned round and saw Jesus standing there, but did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get the next bit of the text." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned towards him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. If we had gone on in Mark's gospel, it was an interesting radio program this morning. I don't know if any of you heard the service from Rugby School on Radio 4, where the speaker spoke about Mark's gospel and the way it ends. It ends very abruptly with it saying that the women left the tomb after seeing it open and were afraid to say anything. Interesting, except that Jesus had said to them, "Tell his disciples I will go ahead of them into Galilee." Jesus was going ahead. He would be there to meet them. But here in John's Gospel, we're told that Mary Magdalene stayed at the tomb. How did she not recognize Jesus? How did she not? Was she crying? Was she anxious? Have you ever been in a situation where you've met somebody in a place that you did not expect to see them, and instantly you didn't recognize them at first? It's happened to me. Well, it happened a lot more now. I've got older, actually, but easy. Sound has gone. I'll go to the microphone then. Is that better? You didn't want to hear what John Gooch said to me, do you? And I can't remember what I was going to say now. I'll remember it in a moment, John. Oh, yes. I remember what he said. He said, Andrew, have you got a doppelganger? And to be honest, do you know, all those years that I'd been alive, I didn't know what a doppelganger was. Now, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands to ask if you know what a doppelganger is, but it's someone who looks exactly like you. Because John had seen me while he was away on holiday, somewhere. Someone who looked exactly like me, and I did feel sorry for them. But Mary, for some reason, didn't recognize Jesus. Maybe she had her head down, just talking to the person. Tell me where you've put him. What have you done with him? I'm sorry, I'm going away from the microphone. I can't stand still. And Jesus says one word after he said, who are you looking for? He simply said, Mary. Wow. Wow. It was in that moment that she knew who Jesus was. Rabboni, teacher, she cried. It was when Jesus called her by name that she knew who he was. Have you experienced that? Have you heard Jesus call you by name? Because that is that moment when you know for yourself, as an absolute certainty, that nothing else matters other than there is Christ crucified, Christ risen, and Christ coming again. No one spoke her name like Jesus did. It couldn't be anybody else. No hesitation. Rabboni, teacher. Have you heard that call? Have you heard that name? Have you responded? Many of us here have, and many of us can testify to it. And I wonder if we could just have the final part of the reading, please. This is continuing the next verse of John chapter 20. Jesus said, do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, I have seen the Lord. And she told them that she had, I can't see the words too clearly, that he had said these things to her. I have seen the Lord. What was Mary's response to knowing that Jesus was alive, knowing that he was hers again? She wanted to tell somebody. She wanted to be sure that she passed on the news that he was alive. Some of you may remember, it was many years ago now, when I got baptized here. I had been christened in the Methodist Church when I was a baby. I didn't know a lot about it at the time, but I understand I did mewl a bit and did cry a bit. But I decided when I was asked if I would become an elder of the church that I ought to be willing to show that I would be part of the true Baptist precision and be baptized. And at that baptism, I told you of my time of coming to faith. And you may remember, I told you that after that moment when I knew for certain that Jesus was mine, I went rushing home to my parents, and I went into their bedroom And I shouted, I've seen Jesus. Oh, you can imagine the reaction of my parents, can't you? They were Christians, went to church regularly, but for their only son to come running in and saying he'd seen Jesus, they thought I'd lost it. And I can imagine that the disciples were a bit like that with Mary. I've seen the Lord. How can you? He was dead and his body's gone, we've been told. Of course, we had Thomas with his doubts. Chris mentioned him last week. But I'm sure the others had doubts too. I'm sure they thought, ah, it's only a woman talking. What do women know? And yet, women, a woman, was the first declaration of the great and glorious news that Jesus was alive. So don't you go putting women down, nor women preachers. Jesus was alive, and Mary had to tell someone. She was desperate to say it. I can imagine her running home, running back to where the disciples, and they'd stayed together during that weekend, running back and shouting it as she went into the door. I have seen the Lord. Oh, come on, Mary. What about us? How often do we declare to others that we belong to Jesus, especially to those that don't know him? Charles Wesley. I had to bring him in, didn't I? And I was very disappointed when I looked at the Baptist hymnal, and this hymn wasn't in the Baptist hymnal. Oh, dreadful. It begins with, give me the faith which can remove and sink the mountains to a plain. But verse 2 says this, I would the precious time redeem and longer live for this alone, to spend and to be spent for them who have not yet my Saviour known. Fully on these my mission prove, and only breathe to breathe thy love. Fully on these my mission prove. Now that's not in scripture, of course. That's a hymn writer writing things as he sees his declaration. And he was a man who, along with his brother John, spent a lot of time traveling around the country. Fully on these my mission prove. How many people have we influenced or even mentioned that we belong to Jesus? We used to sing a chorus, now I belong to Jesus and Jesus belongs to me. Not just for the time of earth alone, but for eternity. So what can we say about these words of the women? First of all, if you've got boulders in the way, if you've got a problem ahead, if you can't see the way ahead, look up. Look up and see what difference it makes. If you've never heard the call of Jesus, can I ask you to keep journeying on? Keep going forward like the women did. They still went on, despite the fact that they didn't think they were going to be able to do anything. Keep searching, keep looking, and listen for that voice calling your name. And when you've heard it, tell somebody about it. Tell others. And may God bless us all.